This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, it is Wednesday, so it's time for Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. I mentioned this quite often on the show, that I always say that life is not meant to be done alone. We need people in our lives. And a while ago, I also read this, I'm sure it was on social media or something, where someone said, with our children, we have this unique opportunity to form a very beautiful connection and relationship with them. And it's our job to kind of foster it. And to be honest, this both made me happy and terrified at the same moment, to be honest, because it was just like, yes, you have it. But I mean, I'm being very honest here now. If I think about my relationship with my own parents, and we don't have a bad relationship, but in some ways, I wish a better relationship with my children, for lack of better words, yeah, and for time purposes, that's as far as that conversation is going. But, and that's for me, the thing is, like, I also remember so clearly when both my children were born, I took bonding and attachment, I feel, for granted for in those moments. Because with Oscar, when he was born, I don't know how or what happened, but I mean, that's the first time in my life where I can say I believe in love at first sight. Because it really felt like this zinger moment of instant bond, instant connection. I remember he came out, and after a very long active labor, it was very strenuous. We were a very touch and go, almost emergency cesarean. And eventually he came out. They put him on my chest and he was crying. But as they put him on my chest, he instantly stopped crying. And he opened up his eyes and he looked at me. And like I said, love at first sight. It was instant, kind of just like this connection that I felt. And I had the same, I think, expectation when Emmy was born, that it would be so instant that I would just have this. And it didn't. I can 100% say to you, it took up to, I think, 3-4 months before I got to a point where I had that moment where, like, oh, wow, I have this beautiful little girl. And it was just, I don't know why and what, but maybe my expert guest today will be able to give us some insight in it. Because I also now feel like, now 10 years down the line, me and Emmy's relationship is beautiful and something wonderful and something I absolutely love. So even though there wasn't love at first sight or attachment initially, or how I felt, or maybe how I expected it to be rather, there was probably some kind of bond forming. I was just oblivious maybe to it. I don't know. But now, 10 years down the line, I can very much say we have such a wonderful relationship and such a special relationship. And it's also for me interesting to see the different relationship that she has with my and that she has with my husband and what she has with me and also and with her brother. And I love us four. So nice. Anyway, talking about that, that's exactly what we want to talk about today, is attachment. And I've got a family therapist here, Rihanna Hihu, who specializes in attachment and trauma. Rihanna, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you. It's amazing to be here. Such a privilege. And I can identify so much with you, with your birthing experience, because for me, attachment has been this love-hate thing my whole life. And what we know now is that attachment research is actually about the fact that we are relational beings, and it's not a once-off thing. We can't survive without caregiving. We are deeply relational, and we don't grow out of relationships. It's a lifelong thing.
Yeah.
And we all need that, hey? Yeah.
And that's what I said in the beginning. Life is just not meant to be done alone. And that doesn't mean you have to have 10,000 friends and you have to be super popular and whatever. And I just feel like it is meant to do with other people. And sometimes those people will have a big impact. Sometimes they won't. But I think that's also why social media is so popular. I feel, because we are craving that attachment and that connection with other people and being part of something. And if you actually create your own little part of something through giving birth to children, I do feel it's like extra special.
Definitely.
So definitely. Let's start off, Ariana. What is attachment? What is considered to be attachment?
Okay. So the attachment research studies the way our quality of caregiving shows up in our brain development and our sense of self and our patterns in our relationship. So because we are this relational beings and babies can't take care of themselves and children need relationship, all quality of caregiving is not the same. And this is where the triggering part of attachment comes in, because there's so much shame and misconception and myths regarding attachment, but we'll get to that. But there's a Professor Bowlby in the 80s, and he studied attachment, and he said that attachment is an internal working model developed by repeated patterns. So it's not only the baby on the chest kind of thing. Or
yeah, it's
just
not
the
just physical, actually physically
not that.
Together.
That is limbic bonding, that what you explained. But it's a working model. It helps us, it's so beautiful. It helps us make sense of the world and our place in it. Oh. It's like, this is my people. This is where I belong. Nay. This is what it says. It says, and in my words, this is Bowlby, great professor, but in my words, attachment is messy. It's not neat. If you're a mum here and you're listening today, please hear me. It's messy. But I often tell the parents that I care for in my practice, it's in the messiness that the miracles happen. And I'm going to help you through that today. In my 28 years of being a practitioner and working with families, what I know for sure, what attachment is not. Attachment is not perfect parenting.
No.
It is not perfect parenting. It's not staying calm all the time. It's not being the zen-like parent who's totally regulated all the time. Who does that? That is not attachment. But sometimes social media, if I go through social media, I feel so heartbreaking, sorry for some parents, because I feel that is what social media sometimes tell us. It's to be this regulated parent. That is attachment. And who can do that? Attachment is not keeping your kid happy all the time. It's not about your kid's happiness. It's not about your kid liking you. And it's also not this kind of...
Luckily.
Yes, I would be in big trouble.
I'm the ruiner of fun. That's what my thing is in our household.
And it's not some magical bonding ritual, a once-off or a now you didn't co-sleep, it's ruined forever. Or like my child who had medical trauma after birth, now I'm ruined forever. No, that's not true. And it's not performative. If you forget everything I say today, attachment is not performative. It's relational. It's not a list that you can tick off. It's not a to-do list.
And I mean, all of those things that you said is like already has given me so much hope, because like I told you, for me from the start, like just that sentence where I was saying that you have this opportunity and whatever to create this great relationship, it created this double kind of thought in my head of like, oh, this is wonderful. Yes. I have this wonderful opportunity to have this wonderful relationship with my children. But on the other side, I had this, oh my word, what if I don't have that in the end of the day? And I've just got this like pressure and like you mentioned, shame that kind of goes with it if you're not doing it in the right way. And also for me, and maybe we can also talk about that just now a little bit as well, is that I also feel that the bond and the relationship with our children also changes over time.
I mean, for instance,
I had a client recently who was like very upset because her daughter was like very attached to her husband. And then I said, I'm going through the same thing now. My daughter is like super into my husband a lot more. And I just said to her, I think at this stage of my daughter's life, she requires my husband's care more than what she does. It's not that she doesn't have anything with me, but it's not as clingy as it used to be in some ways. And I actually wished that clinginess away, and then it actually happened. And now I'm like feeling wise. That double thing is constantly happening.
Yeah, I've got some mind-blowing topic.
Yes.
It's called preferred parenting. And it's something that we do a lot we get a lot of that in therapy. But let's
talk about that. That's another day's topic to talk about.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, you are on 101.9 Chai FM with me, Yolandi Becker, on Bump and Beyond, talking parenting, and today specifically talking attachment. I feel also attachment it's been like a little bit of a phrase, and attachment parenting. And I think my guest today, Riona Ihu, has already touched on it a little bit. She's a family therapist that specializes in attachment and trauma. Of course, if you have any questions or you want to make comments about this, please do feel free to interact with us. You can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. It's 061-895-1019. You can also contact us directly through the app. So if you have the Hyphen app, if you don't get it, it's a good thing to have, but you can contact us directly through that. But attachment, again, like I said, Riona's already mentioned it a little bit with social media as well. Sometimes the perception that social media can create about attachment, that you have to be constantly like with your child and constantly have them on you, and you have to skin to skin and breastfeed for 5 years, or else you're never going to form a breast or a attachment or a relationship with your child. And for me, it's often what I tell my clients as well, and families, is that I know that out of personal experience. I remember feeding my daughter 100 times a night, and I was physically basically attached to her, but I was constantly on my phone. So I was physically there, but I wasn't actually even remotely attaching or bonding at all, because I was completely not there, even though I was physically there. And that, I think sometimes that pressure of it, and you've spoken about, and I again, Riona, I've already think you've given people hope just by those mentioning things, that it's not perfect parenting. When I talk about perfect parenting, I always imagine if my parents were the perfect parents, what kind of freaking type of pressure that would have put on me. So I'm so grateful that they were not perfect, because I don't want to live up to that. That feels like too much pressure in the end of the day, that you don't want to create that kind of pressure for your children to be the perfect parent. And in the end of the day, I think parenting is a combination of so many different actions. And to define your parenting journey by just one action, I think is also very unhelpful to yourself and very unnecessary to do it. Because I honestly had a conversation with my son, who's now 13 recently. And again, I'm telling you all this is because often when we're in that baby phase or toddler phase, we really, really get caught up in those moments of like, oh, now I didn't breastfeed for 5 years. I didn't do this and didn't do this. And you can kind of get caught up in the hecticness of it. Not that it gets easier. I have to say parenting only starts later, but I won't get into that too much. But I was actually telling my son about his sleep training experience. And I do have to say that I was quite hardcore. I wasn't sleeping for 2.5 years. So by that time, I was really sleep deprived. And I finally had figured out, hence the birth of Goodnight, I guess. But I finally figured out what I was doing wrong. And I was, like I said, I kind of actually just left him. And he cried for 2 hours, but then never again. And he slept through from there. Please do not do this. Please contact me. I could promise you I can do it now in a much better way than what I did. It was, anyway. But I told him about it recently. And his response to me was so funny. He's like, wow, already then I had so much determination and I had so much stamina. But it kind of made me realize as well that obviously he doesn't see that one thing that I did as the defining moment. He knows my consistent behavior all the time. Mm. He knows that I will take a bullet for him. Mm. I know he knows that. Mm. And that one thing I did didn't define the rest of his life or my life as a parent. And I just wanted to share that as well. But why, Rihanna, is it important that we, because you've already mentioned, obviously we have to take care of our children. Mm. That's a need that they have. But why is this attachment and this bond so important to have with our children?
Yes, and that brings me, often when I take care of parents in my practice, the first thing I ask them when they come to me is, what is your job description as a parent? And usually I get this shocked blank faces. And I know I also feel like that, because there's a lot of information, too much, but there's also too little practical, structured, research-based information about attachment. So it's then when I say, your job as a parent, if you can remember these two things, if your child is 17 like, or 18 like mine, or 23, or 6 months like yours, connection and direction. That's the two things. And other therapists, other researchers shows it up in different words. They will say soft and sturdy, like Dr. Becky, warmth and structure. So it's like the connection part is the warm fuzziness. It's the limbic bonding. It's the kisses. And it's also showing up when you're not okay. This is it's showing up for your child when they are not at their best. Connection with your child helps your child to develop resilience. Research shows us resilience. Bad stuff happens to good people. Our children, we can't take pain away from them. We can't take struggles away, and it's not good for them. But connection helps them to thrive and be resilient. Connection is the greatest trauma proofer. It's trauma proofing your child. And if you forget everything I say today, this is so important. Peter Levine's work on trauma, Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, I had the privilege of studying in Boston with Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, who is a trauma specialist this year. And what it says is that the parent-child relationship is the greatest mental health tool known to mankind. This is the thing that can turn your child's mental health. Trauma is not in the hurting, it's in the hurting alone. So it's not the bad things that happen to us. It's if our children feel that we are with them, that they are safe, and that we are showing up for them in the bad stuff that happen in the world. So connection is not only warm and fuzziness, it's also an agent of change. If a parent comes to me in the practice, they always come with behavior. If the behavior is the symptom. What is the need behind the behavior? And there's usually a connection or a structure or a boundary. You can call it a boundary or structure or direction, whatever. Yeah. And or a connection need behind the behavior. So, and it just simplifies your approach to this connection thing to make it more practical for you. It's also part of your emotional inheritance that you leave for your children. If you think about generational trauma, we can talk a little bit about that later, but it's you leaving a heritage behind, inheritance for your child and your grandkids by connecting with your child now. If we go into the study of epigenetics, and we can actually change our brains physically by connecting to our children.
Oh, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM, and this is Bump and Beyond. And today I'm talking to a family therapist, Rihanna Yeho, about attachment. And if you've missed it so far, don't worry. Remember that it is available on highfm.com afterwards as a podcast that you can go listen to, because it's already been beautiful. And just now as well, as you've been talking about this whole connection and direction, within my head already, formulating, and we're going to get to those practical things that we can help parents to create that connection and direction a little bit. But direction, as you mentioned as well, for me, and we've spoken about this a little bit as well before when I talk about boundaries, because I feel these days parents are very hesitant to create discipline and boundaries for their children. I don't know if it's because of teachers or what, but we have this kind of perception that it's this super strictness when it comes to, you have to either be really strict and have boundaries and rules and whatever, or you just have to be blasé about it and let your child go with the flow. And I don't know what it is. And even though if you would ask me, I would tell you I'm a strict parent. But when I talk about boundaries or direction or things like that, for me, the key thing, and you also mentioned it a couple of times already, is it's just to have consistent behavior. Most of the time, don't get me wrong, I also sometimes have emotional outbursts and don't say the right thing at the right time. We all have that. But in general, I feel I'm quite consistent with my behavior. And this is what boundaries and direction for me personally means, is meaning that my children know how I will react in a situation, how I will, because my behavior is consistent. So that's what it is. It doesn't help your child is asking you for something over and over and over again, and eventually you're just, I'm giving in and I'm giving you what you're asking for and constantly giving into that. Then they don't trust what you're saying because you said no, and then 2 minutes later you're saying yes. Again, don't get me wrong, my arm has been twisted and negotiated. So it doesn't always come through, but most of the time, that for me is what direction and boundaries mean in the end of the day. For me, being consistent in what I'm doing and having follow through with my threats and things like that. That's also what it means. But I love that. I love the connection and direction thing. But how can we, I've already mentioned, and maybe you could just reiterate my thoughts, is that I don't feel that, and you also said it though, that it's not if you've missed the opportunity for attachment, it doesn't mean it's missed forever.
No, not at all. There's always repair. You can always repair. I have so many examples of where I'm actually doing attachment therapy with teenagers and their parents. It's never too late. My oldest child was 23 now. I had a lot of birthing and medical trauma, and you will often see that children with medical trauma and parents with medical trauma after birth sometimes struggle to form that first attachment. And that attachment hasn't been repaired only when he was 12 years old. We repaired that attachment. It's never too late. I have a beautiful therapy moment at the moment where a grandmum and a mum and her granddaughter, where they all three of them are healing from generational trauma.
And oh, wow.
That grandma and mum is healing their attachment at the same time the mum and the daughter is healing their attachment. It's never too late.
No, and I think that's important to remember, is that it is never too late, because I think, again, we put so much pressure on ourselves, and you are going to miss opportunities, to be honest. As a parent, you have to make peace with that, I feel, as well.
Yes.
There are going to be moments where you think, you know what, I could have been there a little bit more.
Yes, I want to tell you some interesting research on that point. I had an attachment training with Professor Ed Tronick, and he's like the, have you seen on the social media, the still face experiment? It's that guy from the still face experiment. So it's him. And he actually, in his research, thousands of video research that he did with children, is that 70% of connection bits, our child's asking us to connect with them. We, in a secure attachment, we miss 70% of them.
Oh, wow.
And we can still, yes. And with only responding to 30% of our child's connection bits, we can still have a secure attachment.
Oh,
but
wow.
The magic is in the repair. It is in the repair.
Yeah. And I mean, that's also the magic is in the repair. That's for me the beautifulness.
Yes.
And also the other thing where you talked about trauma, that trauma will happen. Children will experience things
yes.
that they don't want to experience
yes.
as long as they don't
yes.
do it alone. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you're blowing my mind here today, Riona. I'm feeling very warm and fuzzy and kind and happy.
Oh.
And it's like
a nice connection going on here.
Yes. We're also connecting here.
Yes.
I'm always I shouldn't actually get therapists on my show too much because I'm feeling like I'm getting a free therapy. I should maybe do it all the time, then I don't have to go anymore at all. But it's beautiful those moments. But let's start talking because we have to go to an ad break just now. But let's start talking about what are things that let's start with maybe smaller children. What mm-hmm. are some of the things we can do to incorporate or ensure that we don't miss 90% of those attachment cues and only
yes.
70%?
I'm so glad you asked that question. I was waiting for that question. So my number one thing is not what you're going to expect. And after 28 years working with families, I feel this is the most important thing, and it's compassion for yourself.
Oh, wow.
And it's not something else that you have to do today with your kid. It's compassion for yourself. Research shows us that if a mom tells herself something like, in the middle of a meltdown or in the middle of a hard parenting moment, that this is really hard, I'm trying, or this is tough, immediately her response to her child is different. So if she shows compassion to herself, she's most likely to show up better for her child with more regulation, with more direction, and with compassion for her child both.
I just that speaks so much to me as well, that because I always also often tell other people that I say that the person who speaks to you most is you. And
yes.
just to be that little voice, but yes.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And I've just told my guest that she's going to have to come back again because we've only started with this beautiful topic of attachment. And just before we went to the ad break, Riona, you were mentioning some tools that we can use to help create that, like I said, to not miss those opportunities for connection. And the first thing that
yes.
you mentioned was to, first of all, have compassion on yourself, to be that voice in your head
yes.
where you're saying like, this is hard, it's okay, and then it's probably going to filter through to your child.
yes. So how do I show up for myself and my kid when we are at our worst? And to do that, you have to be a studier of feelings. You have to be clever with feelings. When the kids come to our practice, we say, we want to teach you to be clever with your feelings. And families where there's feeling intelligence, we talk about feelings. There's no bad feelings. All feelings are welcome, but not all behavior are welcome. Soft on the feelings, strict on the boundary. That is something that I can talk for hours about, but I'll stop there. But that's something that you can practically do, because if a kid feel that they are validated. There's a research with teens. 62% of teens, that was an American study, but feel that if a parent listens to them and validate their feelings, they have connection with that parent. 62%.
Sure.
And it's not only with little ones. It's with teens also. But to validate and to listen and to understand your child's feelings, and also to create space for your feelings and your child's feelings. And then the next four things is very practical, and I love it. It's light up, like the family puppy when your child comes in. Light up. So it's when your child is a baby, it's your facial expression, mine, like I have teens now, I put my phone away. When my kid gets into the car, I'm not on my phone. He gets into the car and I look at him and I, hi, and I'm happy to see you. And he will give a like a teen does. But I'm the family puppy and I'm showing my delight. So that is amazing. Like
in all honesty, you can have that with all people. Just to share that, you know, you can light up with all people.
Yes. Yes. And it's also don't only light up in their performance, but also just when they manage the feeling well. The next one is listen up. Listen. I'm here. You can tell me anything. Nothing is too bad that you can't tell me. And the last one is show up. Show up for your child. But especially I feel in South African culture, there's a lot of pressure to show up for your child's performances. But sometimes we don't show up for your child's pain, for hurting, for being angry. Show up also in those spaces. And the last one is makeup, repair. And we can talk a lot about repair.
Where the magic happens.
And you can always repair. You can repair as an adult with your parent, and you can repair towards your child. The difficult thing is, and I want to say to all the moms out there who maybe didn't have an attachment that was secure, and I always tell them in the practice, you are a cycle breaker. You are a cycle breaker. You are doing the work of changing a generation. And it's the most difficult place to be because you have to do your own healing while you have to show up and repair with your child. You repair up and you repair down. And what is really important when you repair is to have a community, to have a therapist, to have a friend who also is in that same position as you, but to make sure that your nervous system and your brain has buffering for repair, because we can't do this alone. We really can't do this alone.
I mean, Rihanna, it's just beautiful. And I think you've really left all of us with this feeling of like, hey, look at that. We can do this. We can work on attachment. It's never too late. And we shouldn't worry if we've missed those opportunities. We've realized that it's quite normal to miss on average 70% of those moments. But I mean, he's just this light up, listen up, show up, make up. It's given me, like, I feel a little bit more like, hey, you love me. Look at you.
Look at you.
So I'm feeling a little bit positive about it. And I was not feeling it earlier. And I'm feeling a lot more positive about the idea of attachment. The pressure is a little bit less.
I can also give you four very practical little things. It's just rituals in your family. Yes.
Perfect.
Alone time with your child, one-on-one alone time. Screen-free zones in your home. That is things that shows up in therapy of kids that have secure attachment. Is rituals in the family, and then nature and play. Play is a way of being in a relationship. Play is child's work. Play is where they heal. Play is where they connect. And it doesn't have to be a fancy whole day kind of play. It's just short micro moments of play. I don't want to go to the bath. Let's hop like a bunny or let's run like a cheetah to the bath, you know?
Yes.
We don't always feel like that, but to bring playfulness into your daily parenting.
No, I think as an individual as well, it's going to make you feel happier if you're like a child a little bit. And also hop like a bunny and run like a cheetah. I can assure you it's going to put a smile on your face.
we cannot always do that. We don't always have the energy. Sometimes our child just have to hear our heart, no, it's bath time.
Yes.
I know you don't want to bath. Let's go. Or it's time to get in the car seat. I know you're angry. You don't want to be in the car seat. This is safe. Mommy's going to put you in the car seat.
Yeah. Rihanna, unfortunately, we have run out of time very quickly today. Again, like I said, you're going to have to come back. I feel like this was too nice.
I would love
But before you go, I know you have some like big things coming up, like WhatsApp things and workshops and things like that. Please share with us that with everyone.
Yes, I just had the sense that I really can't help people one at a time, and I want to expand and help more people. And some of my clients have asked for support groups for mums who is doing the work. So from next year, I'm having an empty nest. All my children is at university next year, and I'm going to start some support groups and coffee mornings for mums who is doing the work. Oh, yes, and you can contact me if you want to have more details about that.
Yes, well, how can they contact you? What's your contact details?
They can contact me at 082.
Yes.
455.
Yes.
9027.
27. Fantastic. Rihanna, thank you so much for joining me. It was wonderful having you. And this conversation will continue, I can assure you. Have a wonderful
day. Thank you so much. Bye.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, another show has come to an end. And today we spoke about attachment and why it's important, and more importantly that, I think often as parents and as moms especially, we can be very hard on ourselves. I know I have it, I think on a daily basis, where I'm like questioning whether or not it was a good day or not. But yes, I'm hoping that today's conversation helped you and it also makes you excited, because to be honest, it gave me a little bit of excitement as well to take on those little opportunities of lighting up, listening up, showing up and making up where the magic happens. So it is, it was a wonderful show. So if you've missed it, don't worry, because luckily it is available as a podcast on highfm.com afterwards. So you can go look at it, of course. Next week, again, I've got a guest that I've had on before, a doula, and we're going to talk about a little bit more about birthing, preparing for birthing, and talking about that. Again, like I said, I feel like I'm going to have to get Rihanna back as well. It was so wonderful talking to her. I'm like thinking I have to book a session with her. It was just so wonderful. Maybe I've got some pent up things that need to be said. I feel this is what this show is for. So thank you all for making me part of this community and for allowing me on a weekly basis to come and chat to you and form a little bit of an attachment and a bond with this community. It's really such a privilege, and I love, love, love being here every week. As I mentioned before, one of the things for our children is to light up, and I really want to challenge you, especially this time of the year, to share that lighting up and happiness and kindness with all those around you. Take a moment, even if it's the cashier at Woolworths, have a big smile and make their day and spread the kindness, because I think we all can, be a little bit nicer this time of year. One of the greatest gifts that we can give our children is the example of kindness. So thank you so much for joining me. Until next time, enjoy your day.